this place that the Lord has prepared. Number 319. I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home all night when the redeemed are gathering in. I will raise a heavenly anthem in that city in the sky when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow,
free from all sin.
Song will make you happy, amen, just thinking about what the Lord has in store for us. Before we take prayer requests and before we go to the Lord in prayer, I feel definitely led to ask Sister Linda if she would come and testify, give us the news about Brother Greg. I know some saw it on the text blast. I saw some hallelujahs and some praise the Lords, but some of those who may be viewing live stream may not have heard that how well his doctor's appointment went. So I'm going to ask Sister Linda to talk into the microphone so everybody can hear the good news.
Oh, I got so much to praise God about. Just what a miraculous answer to prayer. That's all it was. It was just God. God did it. Hallelujah. But yeah, we read his results today. He goes back to the doctor tomorrow, but we read his results today. And the infection and everything that glowed like a nightlight in his gut was nothing but infection. Infection, not cancer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what the radiologist said. He said it was cancer. He firmly believed that that was what it was. But if it was, it ain't no more. Because God, woo, God took care of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And we just love you and we praise you and we just thank you, dear God, for all that you do. And I thank you all for your prayers. He did ask me tonight as I started out, he said, will you please have the church pray for me? He didn't get much rest last night, and he's been real uncomfortable today, and he's really not looking forward to the test tomorrow with the doctor, but or not the test, but the appointment. But if everything's going the way that we have been told, then he will start his chemo. And he's really concerned about that, as you could certainly understand. So if you will, please continue. God bless you.
We'll give the Lord praise. Amen. God's certainly been busy this week, hasn't he? Along with that, we also got news from Brother Terry's procedure that everything went well. He's certainly in some pain and probably will be for a while. But the procedure went fine. He's doing well. He's back on Facebook. Been able to go back and forth with him. And it seems like he's got his sense of humor still going. So we thank God for that. On a sad note, though, some of you may have already heard that Sister Kathy Armstrong passed away during the night in her sleep, and we don't have the funeral arrangements as of yet, but please keep the Dobbins family, her sisters and brother, in prayer, and she's such a sweet, precious lady, suffered with a lot of sickness. I think she was sicker than really she let on, and maybe she was not one to grumble or complain or even moan and groan, but there was days that, even though she was smiling, that she was in some intense pain. But she's gone home to receive a brand new body that'll never hurt anymore. For that, we're thankful. But let's help hold the family in our prayers. Anyone have a special request of prayer tonight before we go to the Lord in prayer? Yes, ma'am. Y'all right. Thank God. God is so great. Amen. It helps us out in so many ways. Sister Linda was talking about the results changing from what the doctor thought it was or saw it, probably saw that that's what it was. But, you know, I've seen God change x-rays and tests before, amen, where the doctors just knew that it was one thing. And I think the reason that is because that way God gets the honor and glory, because he does what no man can do. So we thank God for his healing power. All right. If you have an unspoken request, just let it be known by the lifting of your hand. If you're able, stand with us, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, first of all, God, for all that you've done, the miracles that you performed this week, the healings, God, the encouragement, Lord, of our brothers and sisters, God, who have gone through situations. Father, we pray that you would continue to hold them up and lift them up, God. Lord, we pray for those who are still sick, those who still may be having affliction in their body. I pray, God, that you would touch them and anoint them right now. God, you see every hand that was raised tonight. You know every need, every situation. And by faith, God, we place those needs into your hand, believing that you're able to do all things. Lord, we ask you to be with those who are traveling to keep them safe. Father, I ask you to be with those, Lord, in the hospitals and nursing homes as well, God, and especially those who are lost, those who have not made provision, Lord, for you to come into their life and be Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that they will find an altar of repentance before it's everlasting too late. Now, Father, just take this service, God. Use it as you see fit. Lead us, guide us, and direct us the way that you'd have us to go. We'll give you all praise and honor and glory. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We might receive our Wednesday evening offering at this time, which goes to our Good Samaritan Fund to help needs and situations that may arise. So I guess Brother Chris is going to maybe come and receive the offering tonight. So as he's coming, we'll just ask the Lord to bless it. Father, as we come again tonight, asking you, Lord, to bless this offering, God, I pray, Lord, that you would use it for, God, the source that it needs to be used. God, that it would reach out and help those, Lord, who are in need. I pray, God, that you would just bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a privilege it is to carry everything to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Sister Susan, come if you would and arrange a number for us tonight. Sister Brenda, would you have one? Where does she go? She's downstairs. Okay, Sister Brenda, you just stay where you are then. She's in the nursery tonight. All right. Sister Linda. And Sister Tabitha. Thank you, Sister Penny, for helping.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord.
That's a smart man back there. I have got to give praise for Tom's daughter, the one that's in the military. Just to give you a little bit of background of what has happened, then her mother died of cancer, colon cancer. She's had several nieces, nephews. She has one brother living that has had the surgery, and all the others have had the surgery and then later passed away. So it's a family thing. It's a family gene. And it appears that Greg is the one that has it. He has more of his family of his mother's genes than he does his dad's. But Andrea seems to have more of her dad's genes. And so she has had to have an endoscopy and a colonoscopy and everything to check on her, because they say that if you have this, then you will be affected by it at least by the age of 40, if not dead. And Greg turned 39 the 6th of May. So we just believe in that God is taking care of this all the way. But we praise God also for Andrea's good report. She does not have any problems with her digestive system at all, and she does go Friday for the family familiarity test or whatever, just to see if she even possibly has the gene. So, y'all remember her in prayer, because we know that God's still got it. No matter what it is, we know God's got it. All right. Glad you got the Lord. Worship God with me. As they gambled for the robe he wore, they chose a worldly dress, not thinking about eternity. As the soldier drove the nails, will we learn from what they've done or make the same mistake?
Try and sing because he lives. It feels good to be back in church after being sick for a couple of weeks from what appeared to have been food poisoning, and then I got the sinus, and so I sound like I'm singing bass probably. But I did want to make an announcement, if it's okay, Brother Eddie. Y'all know I sing that with a choir on TV, and we're actually recording Friday, so just pray that God will clear all this up before Friday. But we're going to be singing at the Lithia Springs Assembly of God. It's Saturday, June 17th at 6 o'clock. The whole entire choir is going to be there. If you can come, I encourage you to come because you will be blessed. We always have a great time. There's so many talented people that sing in this choir, and God just always moves in a special way. So if you can come, I encourage you to come. If you need more details, just ask me and I'll help you along the way. But y'all worship with me tonight.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and joy he gives, but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face in certain days, because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll find life's fine, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory,
before I go now, but I was thinking about that song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. You know, Chris told me that Brother Eddie had told him, it seems like ever since I went back to work that I've been under attack. You know, I was home for 16 years from all the sickness that I had to where I couldn't. But, you know, I was like, Lord, if you want me to go back to work, you'll open the door that you want me to enter in. So I started volunteering, you know, at the Pregnancy Resource Center. And then the door opened for me to go to work there. And it's not just me that works there that comes under attack, but it seems like several of us ladies come under attack. But the reason why is because what we're doing. You know, when a lady comes in and they're contemplating aborting their baby, we get to witness to them and try to coach them into keeping that baby or putting it up for adoption. And last year we saved over 500 babies. Think about it, 500 babies. So, you know, the devil can attack me, but I'm determined. I feel like God opened this door, and I know he's using me there. So you just keep me in your prayers.
Amen. You know, that's when you know you're doing something right and you're doing something pleasing unto God, is when Satan tries to attack you. Amen. Because he can't stand victory. Amen. But you know what? Greater is the power of the Lord than Satan that comes against us. Amen. I'm going to ask Sister Penny if she would to sing It's My Desire, if she's got that, the words. I want to thank her for a wonderful day today. She took me out and she told me that just go buy you something. whatever you want. Then she said two words, said, within reason. And I said, what does that mean? Go get what you want within reason. What's within reason? Well, I found out what within reason is. It ain't all that much. But we had a good time. We had our summer live-in boarder with us. And that's what his mother calls him now. She said, y'all have now. Our house is Trey's summer home. That's what he refers to it as, his summer home. But it's been a wonderful day, and I thank God for it. Couldn't ask for a better day. It's my desire, amen, to live for the Lord.
It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to be like Him. Though often I fail and bring Him much shame, it's my
said he was testifying one night, and he said, all of this and heaven too. And I think about that every once in a while. God has blessed us down here and opens doors for us, heals us, touches us, anoints us, the best friend we'll ever have. And then yet he has also prepared a place that we can't even imagine the greatness, the majesty, the wonderfulness of all that the Lord has prepared for us. But I got a pretty good idea it's going to be absolutely perfect, amen, beyond our ability to even fathom. So if you have it hard down here, just wait till you see what the Lord has prepared, and wait till we reach that heavenly home over there. Well, again, it's good to have you tonight. I appreciate being here. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Ephesians tonight. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. And the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, and we may skip around just a little bit, but I want to start in verse number 17. I promise I won't have you up and down every time I skip. We'll read the text, and then we'll have you to be seated after that. But the writing of the Apostle Paul in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, beginning with verse number 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Can we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful, God, for your many blessings. We're just thankful, God, for your relationship that we have. We can count on you. God, when everything else around us seems to fail, God, you'll never fail. You'll never falter for that. We're so thankful. Thankful for the Spirit and the anointing with your presence here tonight. Thank you for the testimonies of praise. Father, now I humbly ask, God, that you would just anoint this vessel, God. Speak to us tonight that you'd have us to hear. Help us to be submissive and obedient to your word, to your will. Father, we do remember those who are sick. Many are still afflicted. And Father, we pray, God, that you would reach out your healing hand to each and every need tonight. And we'll just look to you to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Tonight, I just want to bring a simple message that says, don't be like them. Don't be like them. We're going to talk a little bit about the them tonight, but also we're going to talk about the us. Amen. How many is glad to be a child of God? How many is glad to know that your sins have been forgiven by the precious blood of the Lamb? Amen. We could go on and on and on and testify and thank God. Songs have been written. Sermons have been preached. Testimonies have been given to the very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ had mercy on us. Even when we were unholy, even when we were in sin, he loved us enough. There's a beautiful song that says, "When he was on the cross, I was on his mind." And I'm so thankful that years and years and years ago, as Jesus stretched forth his hands and he gave his life on the cross of Calvary, that he had you and me in his mind. And that's the reason he died. That's the reason he shed his blood, so that you and I could have the forgiveness of sin, the infilling of his Spirit, and feel that wonderful presence in the relationship that only Jesus Christ can give us. But first of all, I want to talk about what the Apostle Paul was talking about. He said, "Walk not as other Gentiles walk." Now here we find that the Apostle Paul is carrying the word of Jesus Christ and the believing in the baptism and also the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentile nation. I mean, he's thankful that the Lord opened up the opportunity for the Gentile people to be able to receive the word of God. It was not intended at the very start. It was just, if you remember, Jesus told his disciples to go just to the house of Israel, just to the Jewish nation. But later on, after the Apostle Paul was converted and many of the disciples began to go out in the mission field, it was opened up to the Gentile nation. So this is where Apostle Paul is now preaching, and he's preaching basically the church. He's talking to believers. Amen. How many is thankful to be a part of the body of Christ, to be a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ? And how many of you know sometimes the preaching to the believers may be just a little bit different than the preaching to the unbelievers? Amen. I'm so thankful that I heard the word of God when I was maybe not an unbeliever necessarily, but I was lost. Amen. You don't have to be necessarily an unbeliever just to be lost. You can be somebody that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, but has never accepted him. And that's what I was in church when I grew up in church, because I was there. I was there because mom and dad took me to church. And as we were growing up, it was not an option. So they brought us to church. But many, many years after the fact, after sitting in church a year after year after year, then I became not only a believer, but I came also as a one who came to the altar, confessed my sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, and accepted him into my life as Lord and Savior, and later on he filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for that. But he's talking to the church and the believers here, and I want to go back to verse number 22, 23, and 24, because this is part of his sermon. In verse number 22, talking to the church, he said, "That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Would you agree with me tonight that when Jesus comes in to take his abode up in your life, there is a different conversation? There's a different mannerism. There's a different feeling. There's a different relationship that we have now since Jesus Christ lives within us than it was when we were out in the world. So he says, you put off the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I am so thankful for that word renewed. Even though I've been saved for many years, even though I've been carrying the gospel for many, many years, I must confess, there are times in my spiritual life and my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, I need a renewing. Amen. I don't necessarily need to be filled with the Holy Ghost again. Amen. Because the power of the Lord that is within us said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But sometimes I need to be renewed because my flesh becomes weak. Maybe my eyes of faith begin to dim a little bit. And I just need a renewing and a refilling of the Spirit of the Lord. And thank God that he is there to energize us with the Spirit of the Lord, whatever it may be. And sometimes it may be in a simple prayer. Sometimes it may be in a song you heard. Sometimes it may be opening your word of God and the scripture just kind of jumps out at you and you just think, my Lord, that's exactly what I needed to hear this day and time. How many knows God knows exactly what he's doing? Amen. He's not messed up. He's not confused about anything that's going on in our life. If you're not exactly where you want to be, put your faith in the Lord. I guarantee you God will open a door for you. So he says to us that we put off this old man, which was corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man. Now, you're probably going to have the same physical characteristics, you know, but I guarantee you, there will be a glow about you that whether you notice it or not, other people are going to notice it. I guarantee you that once you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a transformation that takes place. There is a spirit infilling. There's an anointing upon you. And it doesn't matter. It's almost like Moses coming down from the mountain. He didn't realize that he was glowing, but the rest of the congregation, they couldn't even hardly look at him because he had been in the presence of Almighty God and he had such a glow about him. And when you've been a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, people that you've been hanging around with, people that you've been kind of buddy and around, they're going to look and say, what in the world is going on with you? Are you taking a new vitamin? A vitamin J, which is a vitamin Jesus, amen. It will make a difference in your life. And it'll be a true one a day, amen. You need Jesus every day of your life. So there'll be a transformation in your life, and that you put on this new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. How many still believes in righteousness and true holiness according to the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ? We are not supposed to mimic the world. We're not supposed to identify as the world does. We're supposed to be set apart. Now, we got to live here. Amen. But I got news for you. It's just temporary. Amen. We're just on a journey. This is not our final home. We're going to a better place. Amen. Can you put your hands together for that if you know that where we're going is going to be better than where we are right now. Amen. As I said earlier, we can't even begin to imagine the greatness that God has prepared, not only for a glorified body, but just the place that we're going to live and spend in eternity. There's not going to be anything like going on in this world today. I was hearing on the news where there is so much of the smoke that's coming from our northern border up there from Canada that's coming down, and it's stifling people, and they're encouraging people not to even go outside. And, you know, that's not going to be prevalent in heaven. Amen. The skies are going to be clear. I don't know yet exactly what it's going to look like, but according to the Word of God, there's not going to be anything, amen, up there that's going to cause us any problems or any sickness or any affliction, because the Bible plainly tells us no more death, no more sorrow, no pain, no sickness up there. Amen. Won't it be good to say goodbye to all this sickness? All the allergies, Sister Tabitha, all the allergies, amen. There's not going to be any allergies in heaven. So there's going to be a glorious place. So that's created in righteousness and true holiness. So now he's telling them about what they're supposed to be as opposed to what the world is. Now I want to backtrack just a little bit and go to verse number 1, verse number 2, and verse number 3, where the Apostle Paul begins this type of message or lesson or whatever you want to refer to it, or a letter or an epistle. So he's talking to the church now, and he's talking to the us, okay? There's an us and there's a them. All right? I hate to categorize that, but that's what it is. There's the church, there's the believers, and then there's the world. We are a part of the world, but we don't have to, or we are in the world rather, but we don't have to be a part of the world. We have to operate in the world. We may have to work at certain jobs. We may have to communicate. We may even have to have relationships with people that are in the world that are unbelievers. But we are still supposed to be carrying the banner high for the Lord Jesus Christ, letting people know that we are in the world, but we're not going to be a part of the world. We're not going to try to act like the world. We're not going to even dress like the world or even have our conversation as the world is, because we are different. Not because we're patting our back, ourselves on the back. That's not what it's about. Pride goeth before fall. We're humble in the fact that we're believers, because we know that if it had not been for Jesus, we would have been as they are today. How many is thankful for the grace of God? So he tells the believers here, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Oh, what a statement that is. You know, the Apostle Paul knew what it was to have prisoners. Because how many remember that when he was Saul, he was not a believer? He was trying to rid the world of Christianity. So he knew what it was to put people into prison and have them locked up. But he said, I am a prisoner of the Lord. And I beseech you, I encourage you, I urge you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Whether we realize it or not, or whether we've thought about it or not, when we are walking as a believer, we are not advertising ourselves. And we're not really advertising the church, so to speak. We're advertising Christ. We are Christians. You know what that means? Christ-like. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's something I have to endeavor day to day to understand. Lord, help me to have the mind that you have. Help me to have the compassion that you have and the love. And that is a wonderful amount of love and compassion that Jesus showed while he was on this earth. And sometimes if we're not careful, that mind that is in Christ Jesus kind of goes over to the side, and then that carnal mind comes into play, and we have to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, help me here. Help me. I need your help. So with all, this is the way that he said that we are to be called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, many, many times as we read the Word of God and we read the Scriptures, and sometimes we read over them kind of hurriedly without really diving in to exactly what they're saying. But as I said Sunday, the words in the Bible are not there as a filler. They're not there just to take up space. How many knows that all Scripture is given to us, amen, for encouragement, for exhortation, for reproof? All of the Scripture, you can find any Scripture in there, and if you look at it long enough, if you run reference on it and you ask the Lord to open up your eyes, your spiritual eyes to that Scripture, I will assure you, and I urge you to try this if you hadn't, to dwell on that particular Scripture, and there's a blessing in it. There's always a blessing in it. Many, many times, as we said earlier, it's just what we needed to hear. It's exactly, it's almost like the Lord just kind of flipped the Bible open and said, right there's what you need to know for today. And how many knows, because it is a living word, amen, it's a living word, and it'll be there, whatever you need down the road, whatever you need in the next year, or whatever the situation may arise, the Lord always has an answer and an antidote for whatever that we may be facing. So he says, basically, this is what we need to do. We need to walk worthy of our calling. You say, well, brother, I really haven't been called into the ministry. Yes, we are. We may not be a preacher, may not be a Sunday school teacher, may not be an evangelist, a pastor, or any of those other so-called names or apostles, but I believe every one of us have been chosen and called into the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ doesn't say that the mouthpiece is the only thing that works. How many know some people that may be the truth? Maybe the only thing that really works well with them is their mouth. But the true body of Christ every joint supplied, every little finger, every little toe, every arm, every part of the spiritual body has a part to do, has an obligation and a work to do. And there's no big I's and little U's in God's service. Amen. Everything is equal in the eyes of God. But I will assure you, when the body of Christ is working together, when there is unity of the Spirit, when the minds are set, there's something to be said, and we say it a lot, in one mind and one accord. That's when everybody's thinking in the same way, amen, they're laying aside every weight, every problem, every issue, and their mind is on working for God, serving God, and rejoicing in the praise and worship service of God, and God can work in that type of atmosphere. So there is something to be said that we walk worthy of your calling. Now, worthy of your calling don't mean look at me, what I am. No, that's not what he's talking about. But understand the seriousness of God's calling on your life. So even if you're not in a so-called ministry, you've still been called to witness, to serve the Lord with joy and with gladness, and be an ambassador. How many knows what an ambassador is? One who represents someone else. Amen. The ambassadors of the United States, they are ambassadors of the nation. They represent the nation. Ambassadors for Christ, it means that we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are an example of what Jesus can do to human flesh. He can come in. He can transform us. He can change us. He can fill us with his Holy Spirit and make us to become ministers or ambassadors for Christ. Also, it says, as you do this, exhibit lowliness and meekness. Not loneliness, lowliness. What does that mean? Be humble. Be humble in spirit. Do not think of yourself more highly than you should. Amen. If there's any exaltation to be done, let it be for God. If there's any glory to be had, all glory and honor should go to the Lord Jesus Christ. We remind ourselves all the time with our saying. We even had it on their t-shirt. It's not about us. It's all about him. Amen. Everything that we do in the body of Christ should be to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. So exhibit yourself in lowliness and meekness. Be ye long-suffering. Some of us got that down. Lord, we've been suffering a long time. No, that's not what it means. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That's true. But he also says he will deliver us. No, the long-suffering means that we are patient, that we give people the benefit of the doubt. We are long-suffering, understanding, and forgiving. Amen? Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. How many times did Jesus talk about forgiveness? How many times did he go to some of the lowest people in the whole area? How many times did he left the Pharisees and the Sadducees and he even went to the house of a sinner? And he took some slack from it, you know, but he must be about his Father's business. So Jesus himself epitomizes the very nature of how a Christian's walk should be. Walk in lowliness of mind, be humble, man, and be understanding and be forgiving and be loving of one another, forbearing one for another and loving one for another. You know, I often think about the forbearing of one another, and I remember an example that my granddaddy gave, and it really hit me hard because I was just a young kid, and as a young kid, sometimes we don't discern the Word of God real well. Sometimes as a kid, we just hear what we want to hear. But he was preaching about this, about forbearing one another. And, you know, I was talking to him later and I said, what in the world does that mean, forbearing one another? You know, he said, well, and I got one brother. He said, it's like you and Dennis are sitting at the table and y'all have already had your supper or your dinner. And, you know, there's one cookie left. And you tell your brother, I'm going to let you have this cookie. I said, I don't like that forbearing. I think I ought to get the cookie. And that has stuck with me because that, as a kid, that was one of the hardest things to do. You know, in fact, my mom, I was raised up, and when we ate a candy bar, we ate one candy bar between the two of us. We didn't get each a candy bar. And what she would do, she would cut that candy bar, and then we would fuss about who's got the biggest piece of candy. So Mom, in her wisdom, she decided, you know what, I'm going to fix this. She said, here's what we're going to do. One of you is going to divide the candy bar, and the other one's going to get the first choice. Think about that for a minute. If I'm cutting the candy bar, and I know Dennis is getting the first choice, that's going to be the neatest, precise cut of candy bar that you've ever seen in your life. So much so that I'm down here actually looking and taking measurements to make sure, because I know if I'm off by just an inch, he's going to grab the biggest piece. So in her wisdom, she said, you know, you divide it and then let him take the first choice. And I said all of that to say this. Can we take that analysis? Can we take that same scenario in forbearing our brothers and sisters? Giving them the benefit of the doubt. Praying for them sometimes even before we pray for ourselves. Man, if you really want to be blessed, you start praying for everybody else. And at the end of your prayer, and Lord, if you see fit, then bless me. That's forbearing one another. You know, understanding, loving, reaching out, giving them, amen, the last cookie. If you can't remember anything else, remember that. So forbearing and loving one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I tell you what that doesn't mean. Let me tell you what Sister so-and-so said. You're not endeavoring to keep the peace. You're spreading fuel to a fire. Endeavoring to keep the peace is hearing something and you say, you know what? Is it going to benefit her or be detrimental to her if I repeat this? And if it's going to be detrimental, then don't repeat it. That's a simple equation. Just if it's not going to be promoting her, if it's not going to be lifting her up or helping her, this is as far as it goes. I'm not going to tell anybody else because it's going to be detrimental. It may be hurtful. Let me tell you something. Time it gets through three or four people, it's going to be blown all out of proportion. So we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, the Apostle Paul tells the church all of these wonderful things because he wants them to be ambassadors for Christ. He wants them, as they're witnessing, to let their actions back up what their words are saying. One of the most confusing things of the world today, if you say one thing and act a very different way. If you preach love and if you preach peace and you preach that, but then you happen to be one of the angriest people around, they're going to say, wait a minute, something's not right. Man, so we got to endeavor to keep the peace. So he's telling them, these are the things that you have relationship with one another. And I've often said, some of the closest friends, some of the best confidant that you'll ever have are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. We should promote that. We should love one another, lift one another up, and help one another. So then he says, that's the us. But then he says, now, these are the things that you're supposed to incorporate into your life, but now here's some things you don't need to be like them. Basically talking about those that are unbelievers, those who have not been born again, and he begins to describe them and give some characteristics of the lifestyle that they were. Now, I don't want you to get this feeling of self-righteousness because God has saved you and filled you. Because you're not going to get anywhere with the Lord like that. You're going to have to remember where you came from. You're going to have to remember how that God cleansed you, picked you up out of the miry clay, dusted you off and put you on a solid rock. And had he not done that, we would have been one of them. I've been one of them. And I'm thankful that Jesus loved me anyway, brought me to an altar of repentance, gave me an opportunity to come with a broken and contrite spirit and say, Lord, please forgive me. I'm a sinner. Lord, I don't want to live this life way anymore. Come into my life and fill me. You know what Jesus did? And he didn't hold any of that against me. In fact, he washed it away with the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you thankful for that? Well, give the Lord praise. So he said, don't be like these. Don't be like the world. But Paul admonishes in church, walk not as those who are unbelievers or as other Gentiles. We're going to just classify them as them, okay? Other than them. Now, I understand that we, just like the Apostle Paul, are not being judgmental. Judgmental will get you nowhere. But you can be observant. You can be knowing the tree by the fruit that it bears. And if you understand that, then you know what we're talking about. If you're a believer, righteousness is going to flow from you. If you're a believer, if you're a true child of God, You're going to have that peace. You're going to have that joy. You're going to have that compassion. You're going to have that love. You're not really going to desire to be like the world. You're not going to be jealous of what they're doing. You're not going to be jealous of what they have and all, because you know that our reward is not here, but our reward is in heaven that we talked about a little while ago. Amen. And boy, it's going to be a great reward. So the Apostle Paul says these are some of the things that they have or they incorporate into their life that you don't need to be a part of. First of all is vanity, he speaks. He says, first of all, he says, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The mind is so difficult. So difficult. Because the mind processes things, and if you are not a true believer, if you don't understand the grace of God, and you don't understand the forgiveness and the meekness of serving the Lord, then in your mind, you may be one that's going to justify everything that you do. And some people justify it, well, others are doing it. Can I share something with you? If the majority does it, that still doesn't mean that it's right in God's eyes. And I'm not talking about Brother Eddie's eyes. I'm talking about the word of the Lord. Amen. Seek the Lord. Seek his righteousness and apply your life to that righteousness. So he said, they walk in the vanity of their mind saying, I'm all right, I'm good. I'm good as the next person. Listen, that's not what it's about. You can be as good as you could ever be and still be lost. Say, Brother Eddie, how does that make sense? Because your goodness doesn't mean anything. It's the goodness of God that is within you. And you need to understand that. We were talking to somebody just recently when talking about it is seemingly easier to convert a sinner who knows they're a sinner than someone who thinks that they're okay and are still lost. Just because you think you're okay and you've never had a born-again experience, you've never opened up your heart's door, you've never asked Jesus to come in, and in the vanity of your mind, I'm as good as the next person. Well, it's not about that. It's about the grace of God. It's about the Spirit of God that comes into our life. So they walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. Now, he basically goes into another word and calls it the ignorance, and the ignorance is very offensive, but it's also understanding that some people are not aware of God's grace. Same on us, church. Same on us if we're not preaching the Word of God and the forgiveness and the redeeming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, so many times we want them to look just like us. We want them to act just like us. And we got to remember, we wasn't always what we are now. Amen. Except for the grace of God. So we need to understand that their understanding may be darkened. What's that basically saying? They don't know God's Word. You'll be surprised how many people are not aware of the Word of God, or who Jesus really was, or what he did on the cross of Calvary. And today, and especially in the environment today, when it's not really popular to call yourself a child of God. In fact, you're almost putting yourself up for ridicule. And that's really tough, especially on the younger generation, because they don't want to stand out. They don't want to be have somebody make fun of them. But you know what? They made fun of Jesus. They called him all kind of names. So, you know, that's not anything new. So we need to understand that there's some out there that really don't know God's Word. You have to be gentle with them. I hadn't seen anybody saved yet in a headlock. It don't work that way. Sometimes we'd like to. I've heard mothers, I wish I could just grab him by the nape of the neck and take him down the altar. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. You know, if you could be saved for them, that would be great. But you have to lead them to Jesus. And the way I say that, remember who led you to Jesus. Remember who led you to the altar. You know, you probably wasn't too receptive the first time, but they didn't get upset with you. They didn't get mad at you. They just kept on loving you. Kept on ministering to you. Kept on witnessing to you. And you know what? Finally, it kind of began to wear off. Say, you know what? I kind of want what they got. How many, without mentioning a name, can think about a mentor in your life, a sister, a brother, a grandmother, or some saint of God that you had so much confidence in, and you can just see them right now, and they were instrumental in leading you to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not always the preacher, and it's not always the pastor. It could be somebody in the church. Amen. So again, that goes back to every part of the body producing and doing that work. Next thing is basically what he describes as an ungodly lifestyle. When you become born again, when you become a Christian and Jesus Christ is in your life, old things passed away. You remember what he said? Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Begin to act according to what the Lord has instilled for us in his work. So that ungodly living, in other words, don't be like them. Don't think you can just live for Jesus and be saved and be born again and then go back out in the world and do anything you want. It doesn't work that way. Amen. There must be a transformation. There must be a putting off of the old man, putting on of the new man. Blindness or hardening of the heart. Basically what he's talking about, the blindness of the heart. Well, the heart is a pumping organ. It doesn't really see. But he's talking about the spiritual heart when it becomes blind and dull of understanding and not really knowing how to be saved or how to be born again. And so many times, we as the church, we want to tell them how to live for Jesus before we ever get them saved by Jesus. How many knows we need to get them saved first? Amen. And let Jesus do the cleaning up. Let the Spirit of the Lord kind of work his wonderful miracle-performing ability. And then he says lasciviousness. That's just a long word that basically means promiscuous or unprincipled sexual matters. And that we all can probably understand exactly what we're talking about. It doesn't mean because the rest of the world's doing it that it's right. And we're living in a time, folks, when almost everything in the world is permissible today, but not permissible to God. That hadn't changed. Amen. The things that are permissible by the world, amen, is not permissible by God. He's still against that. And lasciviousness, if you look that up and follow in that, basically what it talks about. And then he basically mentions uncleanness. He's not talking about going without a bath. He's talking about spiritual uncleanness. You can be, well, I remember I was talking about mother's going home and her celebration when she went home to be with the Lord. And I gave just a little bit of a background and how that she had raised up as a preacher's daughter and was in church, you know, all of her life. And she was always taught or thought that if you were dirty, you couldn't go to heaven. And being a little girl, she thought that meant actually dirt on your hands. You know, playing in the outside and you have dirt on you. And she would constantly come in the house and wash her hands and wash all the dirt. She did not want to have any dirt on her and didn't run on her dress or anything like that. And my grandmother kind of got aggravated. What are you doing washing? She said, I don't want to be dirty if Jesus calls me home. You know, if we need to apply that spiritually, it's not the mud and dirt on our hands, but it's the dirtiness that is within us that the Spirit of the Lord comes in and cleanses us away. So that's what he's talking about, the uncleanness. And then greediness. You know what? Greediness is not new in the world today. There's a lot of greed in the world today. Can you say amen? I mean a lot of greed. Not only in the upper regions of the world and government, but even in the workplace, even in, you know, just it's, I mean, it's apparent almost everywhere you go, there's greed. What can I get? What is for me? What is, you know, I'm gonna get both the cookies, that kind of thing. The Lord says, you know, don't be like them. Don't be like them. Don't pattern your life after the world. And here's the thing that we really, really need to watch. Because as living a life for Christian, we got to understand that worldly things and worldly material is of less important than spiritual things. And Satan jumps all over that, and he says, but wait a minute. They don't love God. They're not serving God. Look how good they got it. Seems like everything they touch turns to money. All success and all they have. Understand that our treasure is not here. Our treasure is in heaven, where rust and moth can't get to it, amen. It's protected by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our treasure is going to be. So don't be as them. You have not learned this type of behavior in Christ Jesus, okay? This type of behavior that he was talking about comes from carnality, or carnal meaning the worldly things. So you gotta rebuke those things. You got to say, you know what? Lord, greater are you. Greater is my desire to serve you and for you to live in my life than all the cares and the riches and all the material things in this world. You know what? We're going to leave them all behind. Amen. There's not a thing in heaven or that we're going to take to heaven that we're going to need up there. Nothing down here. We can just let it be gone because it doesn't mean anything to us. What does mean something is if we're ready to go when the Lord calls us. And we all know that we are hearing even more today than seemingly in years past, that age really has not a whole lot to do with people passing away. There's some young folks dying. And some of them's not accidental death. Some of them is sickness and affliction. My encouragement to you, as Paul's encouragement was to the church at Ephesus, be ye holy as the Lord is holy. Be ready at all times, because when you think not, the thief cometh. The thief being death. Death can come. You know what? Death is not going to say, well, I'll give you a chance to go back to the altar and get everything all right. You must be ready. Amen. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If you've done or said anything, get it forgiven before you go up to bed, before you go to sleep. Sister Kathy, was talking to her sister and friend today, too, that she had been a little weak, but she was getting a little bit better. And anyway, they went to check on her. She didn't answer her phone the next morning, and she slipped away in her sleep during the night. So if you understand where I'm coming from tonight, you understand the seriousness of living for the Lord Jesus Christ, because none of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are. We're one breath away, we're one heartbeat away. But if you're ready and you close your eyes in death, amen, you're going to be in a better place, a glorious place. So take care of that situation now. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. We're procrastinators at heart. We do a lot of things. Oh, I'll get to it next day. I'll do it next week. I'll do it next year, whatever. Don't be that way with your salvation. Get it done now. Get your sins under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Open up your heart's door and invite Jesus. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? So thankful that you came to be with us, worship the Lord with us on a Wednesday night. We appreciate each and every one of you. We remember Brother Jim and Sister Lane. They're down in Florida, so probably looking or viewing on live stream. So a big hello to them and tell them to know that we miss them. But we're so glad that you're here tonight. So we're going to give you an opportunity to stand. And if you need prayer tonight, we will not dismiss this service without having you come forward, and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you concerning any situation that you might have. How many knows God's able to do all things? All right, Brother Greg. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come, Father, first of all, we want to thank you, God, for what you've already done. Lord, you've already created miracles. God, we pray that you will continue to bless me, continue to strengthen me. God, anoint me in my life. Father, I pray that this prayer call will be a reminder, God, of the power, your amazing grace, God, and also the love of the church. Amen. That's holding up our brother in prayer. Father, I pray, God, for the Father, Linda, I pray that you would strengthen them, God, as they prepare for Brother Greg. And I pray, Lord, help them, God, to get back. Of him and here, Jesus. God, and I know you love me, Lord, and I pray, God, that you would make me for your concern. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would speak this passion for the mission. Nothing.
body, God. Strengthen him. Heal him, God. Or perform a miracle by them. Honor the faith on behalf of Brother Shane. Strengthen him. Touch him. Heal him in the mighty name of Jesus. God, honor the faith. God, and raise this brother up, God. Strengthen him. Bless him. Touch him and anoint him. Right now, God. Let him feel your power. Let him feel that miracle.
Amen. As we say very often, there's nothing impossible with God. We serve a God that is able to do even exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. May God bless you. We love you again. Let's let our visitors know that they come tonight. Let's let them know that we appreciate them coming. Hope they'll come back and be with us some. And we appreciate you. Don't forget Sunday. Be here worshiping and praising the Lord. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, how we love you, how we thank you, how we praise you, God, for those who have gathered here tonight, for those who may be viewing on live stream. Father, we thank you for the miracles, for the testimonies of praise tonight, God, and what not only what you've already done, but by faith what you're going to continue to do. Father, I pray tonight that you would just lead us and guide us and direct us and keep us, God, into your word, especially in these trying times that we live in today. Help us to remain true to you, Lord, as you will be true to us. We ask you now, God, for safekeeping. As we depart, God, keep us safe from all harm and danger. Till we meet again, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. We appreciate you being here tonight.